You're listening to The 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. On Friday night, a synagogue in the Chicago suburbs welcomed what may have been the last Syrian refugee family to enter the U.S. They came in last weekend, or that this past weekend. Faith communities have a longstanding tradition of welcoming and helping refugees being resettled into the country, as we were hearing earlier comments that Cardinal Supich was making this weekend about this. Rabbi Evan Moffick is a senior rabbi with Congregation Salel on Chicago's north side. His Reform congregation had been working with the nonprofit agency Refugee One to welcome a refugee family. He joins us now from Highland Park to share more about how that is going. Rabbi Moffick, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for taking the time to be with me.
Thanks, Nyla. Delighted to be here.
Rabbi, what do you all know what's happening or what was happening with the family that you all wanted to help resettle here?
You know, we're not sure. You know, we have an enormous number of volunteers, and, you know, we're still working with Refugee One to see what, you know, what we can do. But, you know, we're really not sure.
Why was it important for your congregation to be involved with this? When did you all start working on this?
You know, it's been bubbling up for a long time. I think even throughout the election, you know, we're immigrant people. You know, we came here in droves throughout the 20th century, and we have memories of our immigrant ancestors. And so I think that our congregation has been aware of the rhetoric for the last 2 years and been increasingly concerned. And, you know, as it got worse and worse, I think our people got more and more concerned. And we probably should have been doing more, you know, a year ago, but it really ramped up, I'd say, the last couple months. And literally when I talked about potentially adopting a refugee family, the response was an outpouring. I mean, I think people in the congregation were waiting for an opportunity to do something. And I wish we could have done more earlier, but, you know, we're doing all we can now.
Rabbi, what was it like for you all, for your congregation on Friday evening? I wonder what your services were like as you all were hearing the news of the immigration order. The significance of it also coming on Holocaust Remembrance Day last Friday.
I think there was just overwhelming concern. You know, I think it's been something where our congregants have been involved in lots of ways. I've been getting lots of emails asking what more we can do. I think we're still looking for some clarity about what more we can do. You know, obviously writing our senators and congressmen, speaking out. But I think there's kind of a feeling of dread, but also of concern and of energy. I mean, I've been at my congregation for 8 years, and I've never seen as much energy and commitment to doing something for the community. It's actually been remarkably inspiring in a desperate time.
Rabbi, I know you and I were chatting yesterday when I asked you to come on the program about the significance of this order coming on Holocaust Remembrance Day last Friday.
Yes.
What did that mean to you?
It was extraordinarily depressing because if we Jews have learned one lesson, you know, from the experience of the Holocaust, it's that Jews are never the only victim. And when a country starts demonizing one group, you can be sure that they're going to be demonizing others. And so to see immigrants and refugees demonized and then blocked in this way portends very bad for the future. I mean, as an act in itself, it's horrible coming on Holocaust Remembrance Day, where we think about all the Jews who could have left Germany, who could have left Europe, but were turned away and did not have a place to go as refugees. And aside from that, it's a bad sign for the future that when immigrants are seen as murderers and rapists and thieves, as we heard from, you know, President Trump during the campaign, we become more concerned about what happens in the future and what happens to other minorities.
Rabbi, you signed a petition with 1,500 other rabbis against the Trump administration, talking about what we're talking about now. And I want you to be clear that you don't see this as, do you see this as a political issue, this issue of immigrants or refugees? Do you see this as a moral issue? I know that it's always tough when faith leaders sort of have to juggle that line of not wanting to take political positions on things.
Right. I see it unequivocally as a moral issue. I think there are political ramifications, of course. I mean, we can debate what's the best way to have effective border control and to protect our sovereignty and so forth. And these are political matters that there are multiple of viewpoints on, and I wouldn't take a position on one of those or another. But when it comes to, are we a nation of immigrants, and does our country illustrate our values, then I take a stand. And I think with refugees and with being a country that welcomes immigrants, I think it's unequivocally clear where Jewish values lie. And it not just Jewish values. I mean, I think this is people from across the religious spectrum. I mean, I have friends who are evangelical ministers, and they share my concern, and they share in some ways the disgust and are speaking out against the recent executive orders.
Rabbi, I'm thinking about a book you wrote a couple of years ago, What Every Christian Needs to Know About Passover, what it means and why it matters. I know that interfaith issues, also the idea of working with other faiths is a really important thing for you. I wonder how you see this moment right now in America as we look at different faith communities. What role do you think faith communities should be playing in these conversations?
Well, I've been having this conversation with lots of friends who are ministers, who are involved with synagogues and churches, and the universal feeling is that we have a tremendously important role to play, that the message of our faith message, that every human being is created in the image of God and worthy of dignity and respect, that's under attack, and we need to speak out for that. And that doesn't mean we are constantly going to Capitol Hill or become political activists, but really become sort of spiritual activists, talking about our values as a country. And I think it's actually an opportunity for religious groups to work together. There are certain, I mean, we're different in a lot of ways. We have different sets of beliefs, but there are certain core values that Jews, Christians, Muslims, people of faith and good people of humanity share, and that's a certain sense of the dignity of every human being. And we also love our country. I mean, America is the most religious country in the democratic Western world, and part of that is because the values of America align with the universal values of our tradition. So in a way, I think it's our responsibility as Jews and as Americans to speak out, and I think we'd be shirking our duty if we didn't.
What do you say to people who disagree, who say this is something we need to do for our security? This is something we need to do to keep the country safe. This is something we need to do to keep the country safe from another terrorist attack.
I respect other points of view, and I listen. I mean, my general approach is I generally don't question people's motives. If somebody believes that we need to do these executive orders to protect the security of our country, I think it's important to listen. But then I think it's also important to look at facts and to look at what really happens. And if we see that they truly do not serve to protect our national security, then we need to do something different. So I think it's important to debate it, but it's also important to find clarity around the truth and to speak out for our values. So I think we have to be mindful, of course, of the reality. And we need to have an immigration system. We need to have checks. We need to have background checks. I'm not a open borders guy, but I think we have to also balance our values with our security. And it seems that that balance has shifted. So I think we have to engage the other side. Fortunately, I haven't encountered much opposition, especially among my congregation and my community and my friends. There really is almost a universal idea that we need to stand up for our value as a nation of immigrants.
Rabbi Evan Mofik is with Congregation Solel in Highland Park. Rabbi Mofik, thanks for being with us. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you, Nyla. Great to talk.
That's all the time we have for today. Unfortunately, we didn't have a chance to get to State Treasurer Mike Frericks announced some programs this morning. We're going to be featuring that on tomorrow's program, looking at disability savings accounts, a new statewide initiative that Illinois has been leading and taking part in. So tune in tomorrow for that conversation with State Treasurer Michael Frericks. You can always find past shows on the NPR One app if you search for The 21st. We're also available on iTunes and Android. All of those links, every other way to contact us. We love feedback from you. If you want to leave us a voicemail, send us an email, find us on social media, it's all at our website, 21stshow.org. Speaking of social media, if you follow us on Twitter, search for 21stshow. We live tweet during the show with more analysis and background on what we're talking about today. Lots of information about immigration, all those reports we mentioned. That's all there if you follow our handle. On our Facebook page, if you search for The 21st to like us, you can comment on what we're working on or post questions or comments you want us to ask on air. We're produced by Haula Delahi, Christine Herman, and Sean Newman. Abrar Alhiti is our intern. Technical direction comes from Jason Croft with help from Steve Mork. Scott Cameron is our executive editor. Special thanks to the band Public Access for our theme music. I'm Nyla Boodoo. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.